It's always difficult to choose topics in a class of greatest hits, you know, which topics to choose. A number of quote, without a doubt, what we're going to do today, the topic of Ahavat Yisrael, love of the Jewish people, is something which anybody who knows anything, even anybody who knows nothing about Rav Kook, there is one thing which, even the Haredim, by the way, if you ever speak with a Haredi about Rav Kook, their typical reaction is, his Ahavat Yisrael he'evir oto al da'ato.
That's where Yosef Haim said, you need to, let's not look at the Mitzvot HaKedushah, let's look at what we have in front of us.
Yeah. And in other words, even Rav Kook's greatest adversaries all realized that his Ahavat Yisrael was something unbelievable, which is a bichlal, it's a midah that everybody knows is an extremely important midah. I think even within the Haredi community, if you were to ask someone about who is the greatest Ohev Yisrael of the last 100 years, almost inevitably the name of Rav Arye Levin that would be at the top of the list. A lot of people don't know that he was a student of Rav Kook. For his Ahavat Yisrael, he learned from his Rebbe. And once you understand Bezrat Hashem, after two or three shiurim on the topic, you'll understand how Rav Kook's the sources, where he got his tefisah from. Obviously, he didn't invent anything. Everything is based on previous sources. A lot of it is based on Kabbalah. Of course, Lubavitch, Chassidut, talks a lot about Ahavat Yisrael, Ahavat Chinam, loving every Jew, no matter how they act. And this is ramifications regarding how to relate to non-religious Jews, the Zionist movement, etc., etc.
Relate to other religious Jews within the Zionist movement.
Or with other Zionists within the religious movement, and other religious within the Zionist movement, in other words, everybody else who's not like me.
Everybody who doesn't exactly agree with me.
All right.
The guy who lives next door to me and an Asifat covering me.
So, let's get into it. Midot HaRe'iyah, the first Makor, it's really, should say at the top, Ha'ahava, not Ha'emuna. And this is from Pisgah Aleph, from Midat Ahava, which I believe is the first Midah in Midot HaRe'iyah, where Rav Kook goes according to the alphabet through the Midot. The Midah of Love. And here we have, I think, the shortest sentence in all of the writings of Rav Kook, and the shortest paragraph. This is an entire paragraph. I believe it's the shortest in all of his writings.
No, let me understand.
Let's see if we can understand it. Hava tzvicha liyot mle'a b'lev lakol. Now, there's a trick in learning Rav Kook. I'll literally translate it for the folks at home. Love has to fill the heart for everyone, for everything, for everything. There's a trick in the writings of Rav Kook, we mentioned it before, that whenever you learn a piska, always ask yourself, what is the Havamina and what is the Kamash Malach? In other words, Rav Kook is writing after 3,300 years of Torah, and a lot has been written, and a lot has been said. Nevertheless, there still are some common misconceptions which, even after 3,300 years of Torah, need to be said, right? Need to be pointed out. And it's a very good trick that helps you focus on what the topic is. Okay, what is his question and what is his answer? Anybody want to take a stab? What is the Havamina? What is the common misconception that people have regarding Ava that Rav Kook is coming to fix?
We're not going to have the Dereyacha. I mean, you hope, like, people that are a certain way. People that have a Saneta, a Saneta Dara, I don't know.
Ava is a thing that you can go hog wild with, and therefore you have to keep it within it. This is Litvak, the Havamina. You have to keep it carefully within its bounds and not exceed the proper place where it's got to be applied.
Somebody you might love someone
who's different. Or who is, and And you guys hit it right on the head. If, by the way, it's not our topic, but being that we already learned Chazon and Tzimchonut, where Rav Kook writes about love of nature, love of animals, love of vegetation, so that's another aspect that the love has to fill your heart, a love for everything, not even just for people, a love for everything. But we're not going to focus on that.
We'll also be in Israel and the nations, that could be an issue too.
And but also, over the shiur, I don't know if we'll get to it today, Bezat Hashem, next time, we'll discuss why does the Torah obligate loving each and every Jew, while it doesn't obligate us to love each and every non-Jew, or each and every bird, or you know, some things are obligated, other things not obligated. Now, in order to understand the Havamina,
that both loving each and every Jew?
You're on television. You're a shiur.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem, we have a new editor, a student of mine who will take the opportunity to thank Ruchama for volunteering to edit the tapes and get them on the internet.
Good, I hope she does a good job.
I'm sure she will.
That would be it.
End of the cut.
Thank you, Rebecca. Well.
Okay. When the Torah commands us something, and this is something we mentioned, if you remember, regarding the Meshech Chochma on the mitzvah of Pru Urvu. When the Torah commands us something, that infers two things. Number one, were it not for the commandment, we would probably not be doing it. There is a need to command. Right? We discussed that in Remersim from Yvinsk. It says there's no commandment on women to have children, because even if there was no commandment, they would want to have children. That was one of the two explanations that we mentioned. The same thing regarding Ahava. In other words, the mitzvah apparently is to love someone who, were it not for the commandment, I probably wouldn't love. Right? The Torah doesn't command us to breathe because we would be breathing anyway. The second aspect of every mitzvah is that if the Torah does command it, it's a sign that I'm capable. Not only am I, but every 12-year-old girl and every 13-year-old boy is capable of fulfilling it. Because those are two things that it's important to remember about every mitzvah.
Does that mean that the Havamina is that without the command to love Kadosh Baruch we would not?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't necessarily.
It's not our topic, but there are a lot of people who don't know that he exists, Bichlal, and even those who know that he exists, they're angry at him after the Holocaust. You know. There's a Havamina there. There's a Havamina regarding every mitzvah. By the way, sometimes you have to ask yourself, what is the difficulty here? Right? Then that's a legitimate question. Right? But that's the Klal regarding the whole mitzvah. We have a tendency to love those who are like ourselves, right? Those who make me laugh, those who are, it's comfortable for me to be with, and there's a dislike for the unlike, right? We dislike if everyone's white, they don't like the blacks. If everyone's black, they dislike the whites. Everyone dislikes the Jews,
Definitely the Jews.
And this is something which is very important to point out. Hachnasat Orchim, another example, right? The mitzvah of inviting guests is not to invite your friend over for Shabbat meal. Sure. It's to invite a stranger. It's to invite somebody, a chayal who's here in Miluim, who doesn't have a family. Somebody from anywhere in Israel, right, who doesn't have a family in Israel, and they call you up. And that is a classic
weird
example.
Weird guy who wanders into shul with a pekel on his back.
Yeah. In other words, for when we invite friends over, that's nice, but that's not the mitzvah of ahava. The mitzvah of ahava is to love someone who you otherwise, were it not for the mitzvah, you wouldn't love them. In other words, to love someone who is unlike you. And this brings us, I think I mentioned once, there's a famous line from the George Bernard Shaw, the guy who comes into the restaurant and orders fish and starts devouring them, and the waiter asks of him, you know, he's looking at him, and the guy notices that the waiter is looking at him, and he says, you gotta understand, I love fish. To which the waiter asks, if you love fish, why are you eating them?
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah.
In other words, you obviously don't love fish. You love yourself, and fish does you good. And this is a very famous, common mistake in the Western world, where people think they're in love with the other person, where they're really in love with themselves. Is the gashash? That's from George Bernard Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
I always go to the Tana, the earlier Tana.
Right.
The Hagwood. If you really love fish, you'd put them in an aquarium and you feed them and change their water. And in other words, basically, you could say that there are only two types of people. There are those who are lovers, and those who are lovers, they love everyone. And if you're not in love with everyone of Israel, that means that you really only love yourself. You only love one thing. You don't love anybody because you only love those who are like you, which means that you love yourself. Which, when you think about it, is pretty accurate and it's pretty frightening. And that's why the Torah goes out of its way to command us to love those who we would otherwise not love. Now the question is, what's the other side of the coin? We said that the Torah only commands us something that every 12-year-old girl could do. If so, how can the Torah command an emotion? Right? If ahava is an emotion, how can the Torah obligate me to love each and every... There are a lot of jerks. Right? A lot of people who are very difficult to love. How can the Torah obligate me to love each and every single Jew?
Conditioning.
What do you mean?
Nature, nurture. You've got to nurture it.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
By doing acts of chesed,
brings you to
nurture.
Okay, Acharei HaPu'lot Nimshachim HaLevavot, right? Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Tevav. That once you do the actions, that pulls your heart along. Okay? What we're going to discuss is a little different aspect of a similar idea that claims that love apparently is not just an emotion. Because if it were just an emotion, the Torah really would not be able to obligate it. If the Torah obligates it, it's a sign that it's not just an emotion. Okay? Let's jump for a second to Pisgat, source 5. Well, I brought for you from Orot Yisrael, Perek Dalet, Pisgat. Avat Yisrael, ve'avoda shel ha-sanigoria al ha-klal ve'al ha-pratim, einena rak avoda hergeshit levada. כי אם מקצוע גדול בתורה וחוכמה עמוקה ורחבה רבת הענפים שכולם צומחים ויונקים מלשד טל אור תורת חסד. Love of Israel is a great work. In other words, it's not easy. That's number one. Like we said before, if it were easy, if it were natural, the Torah wouldn't command us. Because that's number one. You gotta invest time and effort. Like the Rav Chaim writes at the beginning of the Sinai Yesharim. Don't just say, well, it sounds easy to love. Yeah, I love. I'll make a check. Let's go on. Till Chut Shabbat. No. Rav Kook says, you know what? Take an example. What is the classic work of Mitzvot Ahava? What's the most famous sefer on the Mitzvot of Ben Adam L'Chaviro? The Chafetz Chaim's, not Shmirat HaLashon, not the Chafetz Chaim, but he has a less famous sefer called Avar Chesed. Now, when we talk about the Chafetz Chaim, he's most famous for the Laz Lashon Hara, or the Mishnah Berura. And that's exactly what the point. His third sefer is a lot less famous? Why do we not learn it so much? Because people think it's easy. And Rav Kook goes out of this point. The first thing, Avat Yisrael, sorry?
Easy or esoteric.
Esoteric.
I mean, it's a very, I don't know how to explain what esoteric. It means it's not a very lamaisa topic. It feels very, theoretical.
Fluffy.
Esoteric.
Okay.
Right. Esoteric. People hear the word esoteric.
That's esoteric for those who speak
English. Esoteric in general is like, come on. Usually.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, Avat Yisrael veha'avodah shel ha'sanegoria al ha'klal ve'al ha'pratim. By the way, a lot of times we don't really spend time, the proper time, on each word in Rav Kook. Right? But you really got to stop and notice the second point after Rav Kook stresses that Avat, love of Israel, is a lot of hard work, is that it's sanegoria. What is sanegoria?
Defense.
Coming to the defense of the Jewish people. Right? One of the topics that we're going to see in the Tomer Devorah is the importance ladun et adam lekaf zchut, giving the Jewish people the benefit of the doubt, is a major point regarding Avat Yisrael. To learn how to give the benefit of the doubt. Al haklal, on Am Yisrael in general, ve'ala pratim, and on each and every individual Jew. Right? It's not his fault. He didn't get a good education, or even if he did, he didn't have good rabbein, or his father turned him off, or, right? To be
beloved in school.
Yeah. Also on the individual, but not just on the individual, also on the collective. Because a lot of times people have one without the other. A lot of times people talk about Avat Yisrael, but they can't stand Rabbi Yisrael. Right? The individual Jew, they don't love. Because it's easier to theoretically love Am Yisrael. Like we spoke about in Chazon and Tzichonot, why a lot of people find it easier to love Goyim rather than Jews, to love animals rather than people, right? Because they're not your competition, right? And it's not good just to talk theoretically. Like the story about the guy whose kid brother comes to ask him to help him with his homework. And he says, Scram! You can't see I'm studying? What are you studying? It's finals! I'm studying medicine. I want to be a doctor. Why do you want to be a doctor? I want to help people. Right? Get out of here. Right? Or the Shirut Lumi girl who spends all week helping out Israel, but when she comes home Friday afternoon and her mother asks her to help out a little in preparing for Shabbat, then she has no koach. Right? I think we spoke about this. Mm-hmm. Right? This is the problem of that Rav Kook says that you have to focus also on Avat Yisrael as a whole, on groups as a whole, the Charedim as a whole, how to love Charedim, how to love Chilonim, how to love Smolanim, how to love each and every group as a group, and also each and every individual as an individual.
When you said about people who love the Klal, but had trouble with the individuals, there's the opposite problem. You could have this beautiful Yid who acts people over all the time and does all these. But when somebody says something and somebody starts discussing the news, is it very, I think of the Haredi, but it could be our people too. I'm the government. They're always trying. They're evil. They're this, they're that. You know, the country is terrible and this. And,
Or the Jews, you know, the Jews are terrible, the Jews are this.
Don't get me wrong, some of my best friends are Jews.
That's exactly the point.
And your worst enemies, too.
You have to have Ava for the Klalim, and for the collectives, and also for the individual. And this love, Einena rak avodah hergeshit levadah. It's not just an emotion. It's something that you have to get through, you have to approach through the intellect. That's what we're going to talk about, how to get into that mindset, right? That condition, like what you should call, right? But the first thing that you have to, one of the first things they have to understand is that it's not in emotion.
We're still talking just within Klal Yisrael, but outside Klal Yisrael as well.
No, our topic is within clientele, because, again, like I said before, we'll talk probably next year about why the Torah does not obligate us to love each and every goy. You know, and I'm already answering it in a nutshell, because it's not the type of thing that you can obligate a 13-year-old goy. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can obligate a 53-year-old man either, because the goyim have done just about everything that they could to make it difficult to like them for the Jewish people, right? It's a very
young people have trouble connecting
with them. I saw Dershowitz writes about that. Young people who don't learn history.
Like, you know, people have experience with themselves. Well, they have experience on assembly.
Yeah, but they're like everyone's fighting back in the day. Yeah. Funny though. Hey, Russians, so German, yeah. Jews, German.
Did I ever tell you the story of Rav Lior?
The spitting, yeah.
What?
Well, no, it was a different issue. I don't
know. But it was a guy from England who asked Rav Lior, you know, why he doesn't like going.
Yeah.
I called them Rav Big in my name.
What did he say?
So, it was in a group of question and answers with a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds from Bnei Akiva Mahashara. And Rav Lior said something derogatory about Arabs. And from England, Kedar Kova Kodesh, he says, you know, with all due respect to the Rosh Hashiva, you live in the land of Israel, you just know the Arabs, right? You don't know the Goyim. I live in England, my neighbors are Goyim, I studied with Goyim, I live with Goyim.
That's what people say.
Right? Goyim are very, very nice people, you just don't know them. So Rav Lior answered as follows. I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly. He said, listen, young man, I usually don't talk about myself, but I'm not even 50 years old. I'll just tell you a brief biography. He says, I was born in Poland. I don't remember anything about Poland, except one thing.
What?
Exactly. That when you heard the saying, the Polacks are coming, the Poles are coming, all the Jews would go and lock their doors and turn out the lights, because you know that they're coming to rampage and to steal and rape and murder, and no one would do anything about that. That's all I remember about the non-Jews in Poland. And then the Germans invaded Poland, and we understood that it was in our best interest, we heard about Hitler, to run to Russia. And there the Russians caught us and sent us to displaced persons camps, work camps. And it was very clear the anti-Semitism there, that they gave the Jews the hardest work. And the only time they ever gave us a good meal was on Yom Kippur, and it was pig. And I found out that the Russians didn't like us too much either. And after the war, I went back to another DP camp, and then he was on the Exodus. Yeah, he was on the Exodus. And he said, what was the Exodus? We finally saw the shores of Eretz Israel after years of being persecuted.
And your friends were
British. And the British jump on the boat and start beating us mercilessly. Women, children, no, not asking questions, no provocation, no nothing, just beating us, and they sent us to more camps in Cyprus. I know that he was sent to Cyprus. Finally, after the founding of the State of Israel, we come to Israel, and the first thing they tell us is that the Arabs are invading us, and we have to go and fight. Okay, welcome to Israel. And Baruch Hashem, we were victorious. An army of skeletons, with the help of God, we managed. Ever since then, we've had problems with the Fedayeen. Sometimes they're called the PLO, sometimes they're called Hamas.
Sometimes the United Nations.
Right.
What?
The United Nations.
Yeah.
Says Bekitsur, says, I'm not all that old. But when I'm thinking back, he was about as old as I am today. He says, I knew the Polish, I knew the Germans, I knew the Russians, I knew the British, I know the Arabs, I know the Palestinians, you have the United Nations, and you tell me that I don't know the Goyim, my friend, you don't know the Goyim. And although the question, you know, regarding a 15-year-old kid who has not learned history, he can't identify with this. That's true. Right? And there are like a lot of things he can't identify with. He's not married. He can't identify with marriage either. Right? He's not mature. He can't identify with a lot of things. So too, but the fact is, anybody who's learned history knows that the Goyim have... And God knew when he gave us the Torah...
Is it okay to say that on an individual level... There are certain Goyim that are fine.
Of course, of course. The point is, the question is, we are going to talk about, we spoke about, that we're supposed to love even animals, even vegetables we're supposed to love. Rav Kook deals with that in this parak of Midat Ha'ava. And he quotes the Zohar, which I won't explain, but I'll just quote it, just like Rav Kook quotes it. He says that on the Pasuk, okay. In our world, in our world, no, the Shulchan Aruch does. There's no room to love Amalek, and there's no obligation to love God. On the other hand, in the next world, you know, when things will be different and Amalek will be different, the Ikaron, in other words, because it's so important of the question that you asked, Amalek, you have to understand the Ikaron that you have to love everything. You ask about Amalek, yeah, the answer is even Amalek. How and what to love regarding Amalek, again, that's, we're not going to get into that because we're not there. Just like a 15-year-old can't understand anti-Semitism or marriage, so today we can't understand what good there is in Amalek, and that's why the Torah says, and the Rambam even goes so far as to say, tzuchim l'orer eva. Even if you don't hate them, you have to try and motivate your hatred for Amalek.
It's like a lot. It's like a football team's locker room before the big game.
Yeah.
Like these guys, you gotta hate them. You're gonna hit them. You're gonna
embrace time.
Anyway, that's in a nutshell. I'll just, because I'll mention one last point once we mention the Goyim, is that I would say it's similar to what we learned regarding vegetarianism. That it's important to remember and to keep eye contact with the goal. The goal is definitely to eventually love Goyim. And by the way, the average Jew who loves Jews will also eventually love Goyim a lot more than the average Goyim. Right? Simply because he is a loving person. And just, I think we mentioned once, my cleaning lady in Chutz Laaretz was so happy that her daughter got engaged to a Jewish boy. Why was she so proud? Not because she knew we were Jewish, but she was proud because a Jewish husband is he's not going to beat his wife, he's not going to get him drunk, you know, he's a family man, he's a goody-goody, he's a family man, you know, obviously it's a stereotype, but that...
It's true in the Hispanic world also. Rav Nachum Neri, I heard Rav Nachum Neri is speaking to farewell gallery for the young Hachshava kids from Mexico.
Yeah.
He spent time as a shliach in a Hispanic country. I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
And he says there are these. You should know when you go to university. There are these Goyish girls who are looking for Jewish boys.
Anyway, why do I mention that? Because eventually, we do want the Goyim to love us and to admire us, and we should also, obviously, we aren't going to talk less Lashon Hara about Goyim than Goyim talk about each other, simply because that's the way we're used to doing. B'chlal, you should know Avat, the mitzvot ben adam l'chavero, are obligated towards Jews because we're meant to live among Jews. Right? We're meant to be living in a Jewish land with Jewish people, with Jewish neighbors, with Jewish bus drivers, with the Jewish everyone. That's what the Torah is addressing. But derech agav, obviously, the more a person, once a person is obligated to love each and every Jew, he inevitably is going to love the majority of the goyim as well. But to obligate to love each and every goy, the Torah doesn't do so for the reasons that we mentioned. Okay.
The big failure of Christianity by trying to tapas the maruba or tapas, you buy that more than you can choose.
That's also true. That the idea of Ava is the Torah wants us to focus on the average Ava, love towards the average person that you're going to meet. But if you remember, we discussed once that a person is centered around me. Right? That's where you want. You learn afterwards to get in touch and to love and to give to your family, to your siblings, your parents, afterwards your spouse, afterwards your children. And this is a constant rise of more and more and more giving. Right? Being more and more altruistic, more and more godly, less and less selfish. The next stage is to love your nation. Right? This is where Avat Yisrael comes in. And a higher level, but a more theoretical level, is humanism. Did we speak about this?
Yes.
Yeah, we spoke about it.
Okay.
So we'll keep it short. And the reason why the Torah spends so much more time on this cycle, the cycle of Avat Yisrael, as opposed to loving yourself, and opposed to loving your family, and as opposed to loving humanism, is because humanity, we love ourselves
naturally.
Our family, we also love naturally. Humanism, humanity, is a little too far away, especially when we remember what we said before, that the Torah is addressing a society of Jews, living among Jews, where you really don't meet that many goyim. Today, with globalism, like, you can meet goyim even when you're living in the land of Israel, which apparently is the balance that Yemot HaMashiach, that's the ideal balance, where we can meet the goyim to influence them, but we have the home court advantage. We have our country and our people, and we're not living among them to intermarry them. Okay? Anyway, so that's why the Torah is always going to talk about not talking Lashon Hara about Israel. Why? Because it's talking about the guy next to you at work. You don't work, spend 8 hours a day working with your wife or with your mother. You're doing it with the guy next to you at work. You're doing it with the guy sitting next to you on the bus, with the operator on the phone. With, in other words, the average Joe Schmo is Jewish. And this is the cycle which the Torah centers us on, because this is where, on the one hand, if the Torah would not command us, we would not love each and every Jew. On the other hand, we are capable. Humanism, we are not capable of loving each and every Jew. Family, we would love family even if we were not commanded. You understand? Always remember the two sides of the coin. Am Yisrael is where we have to focus.
This is a little bit off-center, but for a... When I speak to potential righteous Gentiles, are they supposed to love, who are they supposed to love more, their own people or Am Yisrael?
I'll just answer you in a nutshell. The Gandhi says that Latid Lavo, in the ideal world, in the Messianic world, the Goyim will volunteer to be close to the Jewish people, to want to help the Jewish people, to even want to help the individual Jew. Because it's like a rabbi, the Jewish people are called Mamlechet Kohanim, a kingdom, a nation of priests. A priest in the Torah, Kohen Kisikdei Kohen, Yishmeru Dat, right? The job of the Kohanim is to teach. That's the job of Am Yisrael. So basically what your question is, should they love each and every non-Jew? Because remember also, in the world, in the Messianic world, there's no nations. Everyone is all one big family. So your question isn't should they love their fellow American more than their fellow Russian, because everyone is going to be intermarrying and fellow human being. That's what humanism is about.
But we're not there yet. But we're not there yet.
No, when you asked the question, the ideal world.
No, I'm not in the ideal world. I'm talking about going that I speak to now.
So again, let's look at the seven mitzvot b'nei noach, the Shulchan Aruch. Goyim are not obligated to love each and every Jew. They're not obligated to love each and every Gentile. They're not obligated to be lovers. How about they should be mensches?
No.
To be a mensch, to be a ben adam, to be a good human being, just even the basics. Okay. Now, if you want it, lifnim shurat adin, can you say that in English?
Beyond the letter of the law.
Beyond the letter of the law. Just like we said vegetarianism regarding a Jew. What is that, beyond the letter of the law? Keep it in eye contact. Know that that's the direction. Even if you're not there yet, know that the goy should know that the direction is that eventually he should love the Jewish people. Okay. Maybe we'll do one more source. Let's finish off Seif Aleph in source 5. Again, Rav Kook says that the love of Israel is a lot of work, and a large part of the work is to learn how to give the benefit of the doubt to the different groups, to the nation, and to each and every individual Jew. And this is not just an emotion. It is connected with emotion, but like we're going to see, the main point is to get into that mindset, that understanding of what, how you can love each and every Jew. Ki im miktsoa gadol b'torah. Love of Israel is a great miktsoa, a great topic, a very broad and deep topic in Torah. And just like we said before, just like people spend time, they should spend time every day learning the laws of Shabbat and Mishnah Berurah, and learning at least 15 minutes a day of Shmirat HaLashon, like they do in Merkaz Zarav, not to slander, then we should be learning the laws of Avat Yisrael, because it's something that has to be learned. It's a great mitzvah, it's a great field. V'chokhma amuka urchava. It's not superficial, it's not easy, it's not esoteric, right? Rabat ha'anafim. It has a lot of different ramifications. First of all, just look at all the mitzvot ben adam v'chaveru, which is half the Torah, mitzvot between man and his fellow man. Right? Those are a lot of ramifications. Also ramifications in how to speak to the operator, how to speak to your boss, how to speak to your employer, how to speak to every Joshua. You know what? I saw my son watching a soccer game, and the goalie made a mistake. And what do you do when the goalie makes a mistake?
You bomb.
You curse him. You yell at him.
Well, he's really stupid.
And I said to my son, you know, I realized, you know, I grew up watching sports too. And I realized that's your natural reaction. But you got to realize that you have the obligation of Hilchot Lashon Hara towards a Jewish goalie. Right? If he's Jewish, now, if you can't control yourself, I understand that. So don't watch. Don't watch. Either that, or support a team that has only non-Jews.
Right? Or the goalie doesn't let him go. It doesn't lose.
Find a team like that.
But I don't know if you ever thought of that. It just hit me at the time, you know, that, you know, when you're into it, you don't even realize it. But even something as simple as rooting for your soccer team, when you're living in a Jewish state, where the with Jewish soccer players, you've got, there are a lot of ramifications for Avat Yisrael, which is great. Right? This is awesome. Right? You've got to bring godliness into your soccer. On the other hand, it's living your entire life on a high flame. That's something we spoke about once, right? To live your whole life on a high flame where you can't let down even for a minute. Right? That's very, to live on a super more moral level. Okay? So that's exactly the topic. That's what we got to learn. Shekulam tzumchim v'yonkim. All of the ramifications and the mitzvot, all of them are outshoots and nurtured milishad. Lishad literally means the inside, the marrow of your bones. It's obviously not a literal translation here. The milishad tal or torat chesed, from the dew of the light of the spirit of the Torah, which is kol kula chesed, like Chazal say. The entire Torah is chesed, as it says, v'torat chesed al lishona, Maran Masech Brachot. All of the Torah is chesed. All of the Torah is altruism. The Torah is about being godly. Being godly is being altruistic, a giver. That means that that's what the whole Torah is about. And that's why we're going to be spending a couple shiurim on this issue of how to get to Ahavat Yisrael.